السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، أحسن كل شيء خلق، وفتق الأسماع وشق الحدق، وأحصى عدد ما في الشجر من ورق. اللهم صل على النبي المصطفى والخليل المجتبى والشفيع المرتجى سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى. اللهم أحينا على سنته، توفنا على ملته، جعلنا من أهل شفاعته، سقنا من حوضه المبارك المورود شربة لا نظمأ بعدها أبدا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في العالمين، صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في الأولين، صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين، صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد واجعلنا في زمرته يا أرحم الراحمين. نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في أعلى جنان الخلد. وبعد،
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. Our esteemed and respected guest begins off by addressing us in the universal greeting of peace by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And thereafter he sends praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hymns Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's praises in a very eloquent and holistic and comprehensive way. And he sent peace and blessings upon our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Just in terms of the praises that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has perfected everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to which extent? In a nutshell, to the extent of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. He sends praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of the amount of trees which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on the face of the earth. Our respected guest sends praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of the amount of leaves which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on the trees which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created on the face of the earth. Thereafter, our respected guest goes on to send peace and blessings upon our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And such peace and blessings upon our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And certain plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true followers of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to not deprive us of his ultimate intercession on the day of judgment, not to deprive us of drinking from his blessed hands and from his blessed pond. And our respected guest also supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us such belief that will ensure our felicity in this world and in the year after, to grant us such conviction and to grant us such reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will avail us both in this world and the year after. This is a synopsis of the praises and the peace and blessings which our respected guest has sent upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And he ends off by saying amma ba'd, which means to continue. Let us get into the gist of our talk.
دعوني أسألكم ما هذا الشهر الذي نعيش فيه, which month that we live. What's the answer?
Allow me to ask you a question, and that question is, which month do we find ourselves in? This current month that you are subsisting it, which month is this?
Huh? Muharram. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم جاء إليه رجل فأراد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يرشده إلى أن يصوم شهرا, إلى أن يختار من الصيام أن يصوم شهرا بعد رمضان. فقال صم شهر الله المحرم, صم شهر الله المحرم, فحثه على أن يصوم شهر المحرم بعد صيامه لشهر رمضان. والمقصود أن يصوم شيئا من المحرم بحسب ما يتيسر له. إذن نحن في محرم, ولا بد للإنسان متى ما استطاع أن يصوم فليصوم على سبيل الندب والاستحباب، ولأن الصيام ليس فقط وسيلة رياضية لإصحاح الأجساد، بل هو وسيلة تزكوية لربط القلوب برب العباد.
Our respected guest goes on to mention that a person had come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam was of mind to advise him to fast a particular month other than the month of Ramadan. So of all the other months, the balance of the months, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam instructed him to fast in the month that you and I find ourselves in, and that is the month of Muharram. And in terms of the narration, the wording reads, Sum shahr Allah al-Muharram, fast the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the month of Muharram. So this particular instruction is not an instruction which mandates it upon us to fast. In other words, you must fast in the month of Muharram. But rather it is an instruction of nadb. It is an instruction of recommendedness. In other words, in this particular month, whenever you get the opportunity to fast, then you should fast. As much as you can possibly fast in this particular month, then you should fast. Our respected guest draws our attention to the fact that fasting is not only a physical exercise, and to fast for the physical and medical benefits that it may hold. He says no, but rather the benefit of fasting is the spiritual benefit. And what is a spiritual benefit? That in fasting, we develop a connection between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ultimate spiritual benefit of fasting.
طيب لماذا سماه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شهر الله؟ الله في سورة إبراهيم يقول وذكرهم بأيام الله، وذكرهم بأيام الله. هناك شهر الله وهناك أيام الله، وكل الزمان أيام خلقها الله جل في علاه، لكن لماذا خص المحرم بأن يسميه شهر الله؟ لأنه حدثت في المحرم بعض الأحداث قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تدل على أن الإنسان ينبغي أن يرتبط بالله، إما تعبدا وصبرا وإما شكرا. نعم.
So our case goes on to highlight to us that if we look at this particular month, we find that it is referred to as Shahrullah, and that is translated as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look to Quran, we find that there is also another reference in Surah Ibrahim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes days to himself, attributes time to himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, and remind them about the days of Allah. So here Allah talks about the month of Allah, and in Surah Ibrahim Allah talks about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that all of time, this is my own part, creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the time belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala single out certain times and attribute it consciously to himself, whereas all of the time actually belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So our respected guest goes on to say that is for a particular reason. It is for certain significances prior to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain events which occurred in this particular month. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this as his month. And he lists the reasons, and our respected guest will now enumerate on those particular reasons and events.
من هذه الأحداث العظيمة التي وقعت في المحرم في شهر الله المحرم أن الكعبة بيت الله، أن بيت الله وهي الكعبة كان يكسى في الجاهلية. هل كان هذا من آثار سيدنا إبراهيم، من آثار ملة سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ ربما، لكن أهل الجاهلية من المشركين كانوا يكسون الكعبة في يوم عاشوراء، وكان القرشيون يصومون يوم عاشوراء. قالت السيدة عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها كان يوم عاشوراء يوما يعظمه أهل الجاهلية فيصومونه، فصامه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. هذا وقبل أن يبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وبعد أن بعث. نعم.
So our respected guest goes on to mention one of those significant events. He goes on to mention that the Kaaba as we know it today, and we're quite familiar with the annual dressing and redressing, the annual cloaking and recloaking of the Kaaba. Prior to the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this particular event used to take place on the 10th of Muharram. The tribe of Quraysh, they used to recloak, in other words, replace the cover of the Kaaba on the 10th of Muharram. Whether this was of the remnants of the tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam that still remained amongst the pagan Arabs or not, that is a question that may be asked. But what we are certain of was that on the 10th of Muharram, the Quraysh, the pagan Arabs, they used to remove the old cover of the Kaaba and they used to replace it with a new cover. And also based on a particular narration of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, she says that the pagan Arabs, they used to aggrandize. They used to consider the 10th of Muharram as important. And because they considered it as important, they used to fast this particular day. So the wording of the narration says, كَانَ قُرَيْشُ يُعَظِّمُهَا, that Quraysh used to aggrandize it and consider it to be important. And as a result of that, they used to fast. The narration goes on, and Aisha radiallahu anha says, and because of this possibly Abrahamic tradition, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to one narration, because of this significance, he also used to fast on the 10th of Muharram whilst he was in Mecca. That's according to one narration. There are many narrations in this particular regard.
I'll ask you a question. Tell me, Quraysh, are they at that time Muslim? Huh? كانوا يعبدون الأوثان.
They used to, they weren't Muslim, as you correctly answered. They used to worship the idols.
360 صنم حول الكعبة يعبدونها.
At that particular time, there were 360 idols around the Kaaba, and they used to worship these idols.
وعلى الرغم من ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رآهم يعظمون عاشورا فعظمه معهم لم يقل هؤلاء كفار هؤلاء وثنيون دعونا لا نريد أن نشاركهم في أي شيء ليس هكذا عقل المسلم المسلم ينظر إلى خير ما يعمله الناس ولو كان الذي يعمل هذا العمل غير مسلم ويتابعه عليه.
In that we learn a very great significance, and the reason why our respected guest asks us that question is as a preamble to what he'd like to present to you now. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ultimately followed their practice. He didn't say that these are pagan Arabs, these are idol worshippers. They are worshipping the 360 idols, so I'm not going to follow them in any way. He says this is not the frame of mind of a believer. Rather, a believer, when he sees something good, irrespective whether it's coming from the believers themselves or whether it's coming from somebody else, then if he deems it appropriate to follow that, then he will follow that.
ولذلك ينبغي أن نصلي على رسول الله الذي يعلمنا هذا الهدى وذلك النور العظيم ويتعامل بهذا التعامل الإيجابي مع سائر العالم ولو كانوا غير مسلمين. ينبغي أن نصلي عليه صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Repeat after me. صلى الله على محمد
صلى الله على محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Perhaps if I can start translating from the ending, and that is that we send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and in this particular instance, as an expression of gratitude for what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And what has he taught us? He's taught us in this particular lesson, as we will see both in Makkah and Medina, he's taught us a lesson, and that is when we see something positive, and as Muslims, we will appropriate that. It's secondary as to whether who's practicing this positive thing. This type of outlook, this type of methodology, this type of approach, it was taught to us by our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when we look at the uniqueness, and we look at the beauty, and we look at the guidance contained within this particular teaching, it almost like elicits from us that we need to send peace and blessings upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
بعد ذلك انظر ترتيب الأحداث إذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صام يوم عاشوراء في مكة ثم هاجر من الذي طرده؟ طرده أولئك الذين شاركهم في بعض العبادات المتبقية لهم من ملة إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام فخرج إلى المدينة لما وصل إلى المدينة وجد قوما آخرين غير المشركين الوثنيين الذين كانوا في المدينة وجد اليهود وجد بني إسرائيل.
So what happened there after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after staying in Mecca for a number of years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had immigrated to Medina. And who were the ones that were responsible for expelling him from Mecca? Those very ones that he partnered with them in some of the good that they did. And what was the good that they did? They had celebrated the fasting on the 10th of Muharram. So the very people that he positively engaged with and partnered with in this act of worship, they were the very ones responsible for expelling him from Mecca. Be it as it may, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he immigrates to Medina. When he comes to Medina, regarding the very same day, he finds a different people altogether. And these people, as we know, they are referred to as the Jews. He finds now that they are also celebrating and fasting on the 10th of Muharram.
وجدهم وهم يصومون يوم عاشوراء هؤلاء بنو إسرائيل sons of Israel يصومون يوم عاشوراء فسألهم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سؤالا فيما يظهر لنا سؤال العارف بالواقع ولكن أراد أن يتفاعل معهم سؤالا وجوابا ما جعل نفسه يهود ما في دم ما في داعي اليهود لا لا لم يفعل ذلك بل ذهب إليهم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وسألهم لماذا تصومون هذا اليوم مع أنه يعلم الإجابة فيما يظهر عندما ينظر الإنسان في الروايات نعم.
So when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, and then he approached the Jews, the Banu Israel, and the Quranic term that is used for the Jews is Banu Israel, which our respected guest placed a bit of emphasis on so we can understand that these people belong to the Jews. So the Prophet ﷺ asks them that you are fasting on the 10th of Muharram, why are you fasting? At that particular point, our respected guest takes out some time to deliberate. When the Prophet ﷺ is asking the question, what type of question is he asking? We know the background. The background is that the Prophet ﷺ is familiar with fasting on the 10th of Muharram because of his experience in Mecca. So when he's asking this question, in light of all the other narrations, he's not asking because he doesn't know the answer. But rather he's asking with the idea of engaging the Jews. And that's a very important concept. And the concept of engagement. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't come to Medina and understand that in this cosmopolitan community there are Jews and you have your way and we have our way. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his approach was an approach of engagement. So that is what we can learn from looking at the question of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you ask them, and the Arabic term is su'alul arif. It is a question, but the questioner knows the answer. But he's asking the question for another reason, and that is for engagement.
What's the best lesson that you got from this dialogue between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jews?
So what is the lesson that we can take from just this prophet, just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the Jews this particular question?
Answer me. صلينا قل صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما الدرس الأهم من هذا الحوار؟
What do you think would be the most important lesson that we learn from this particular discussion?
لا ليس هذا لم نصل إلى الصيام نحن حتى الآن فقط سؤال وجواب.
We haven't reached the point of the fasting yet. We haven't reached that point yet. We still basically in the engagement between the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Communication. Keep in touch with any person, regardless his faith. يعني ينبغي أن تكون على صلة بأي إنسان وتتفاعل معه حتى لو كنت تعرف ما عنده. ولاحظ هنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألهم عن مسألة دينية وليس عن مسألة دنيوية. إذا حتى المسألة الدينية يمكن أن تتفاعل معه فيها.
So the idea basically is to establish communication. And the Prophet ﷺ is engaging with him. Why? Even despite the fact that he knows the answer, but he uses the opportunity to engage. So when the lesson we learn therefrom is that when we find ourselves in the community, then one of the most important principles is the principle of engaging. And how do we engage? With communication. If you also keep in mind, the Prophet ﷺ is not asking them a question unrelated to religion. He's asking them a religious related question. So even when it comes to issues of religion,
there are common grounds and there are grounds that we can communicate with others.
فقالوا أجابوه قالوا هذا يوم صالح هذا يوم صالح أي يوم معظم بالنسبة لنا هذا يوم صالح نجى الله فيه موسى وقومه من فرعون وجنوده فنحن نصومه شكرا لله أي على هذه التنجية التي وقعت لموسى عليه الصلاة والسلام نعم.
So now it comes to the point of answering the question. The Prophet ﷺ asks them a question, they answer and they say, this is a very good day for us. This is a very auspicious day for us. And the auspiciousness comes from the fact that this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved Musa alayhi salam from the clutches of Fir'aun and from his army. So we fast this day as an expression of gratitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun and his army.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نحن أحق بموسى منكم نحن أحق بموسى منكم لم يقل هذا هذه احتفالاتكم الخاصة ودعونا منكم ونحن ديننا ناسخ لكل ما سبق لم يقل ذلك بل قال نحن أحق بموسى منكم فصامه أي أبقى ما معنى كلمة صامه هنا أي بقي على صيامه مثل قوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله هو يقول آمنوا آمنوا أي استمروا على الإيمان إذن كان يصومه في مع قريش في الجاهلية وصامه بعد أن بعث صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مع قريش في مكة ثم لما وصل إلى المدينة وسأل اليهود سؤال حوار وتواصل أيضا آمر بصيام يوم عاشوراء.
Now when we look at our respected guest further goes on to explain, so when the Jews explained to him that we are fasting for the reasons as explained, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from the clutches of Fir'aun and his army, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration reads, فَصَامَهُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted on that day. What does it mean? We know the broader context. The broader context means he continued to fast. Because the Prophet ﷺ was informed about the fasting on the 10th of Muharram back in Mecca, as was the practice of Quraysh. So the meaning of Samahu in this particular narration means istamarra fi siyami. He continued to fast it. And then our respected guest gives a parallel example in Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. Oh, you believe, believe. So that looks like a replication, because Allah is already addressing you as, oh, you believe. So what's the sense in saying, oh, you believe, believe? What Allah means thereby is continue on your belief. So when we look at the narration and it says the Prophet ﷺ fasted it, in other words, he continued to uphold the fasting on that particular day. This is the meaning of the Prophet ﷺ continued to fast and he commanded others also to fast. The important point which our guest also highlights is that the Prophet ﷺ from the outset, he didn't say that, look, our Islam, and there's a principle, Islamic legal theory principle, that talks about that our dispensation, our Islam, it nullifies whatever has become before it. So the Prophet ﷺ, when you ask, he didn't take that particular approach in relation to their religious practices, but rather the Prophet ﷺ engaged with them, and the Prophet ﷺ celebrated with them what they perceived to be a day of their celebration.
وكان يأمر الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم بصيام يوم عاشوراء ويحرص عليهم بذلك حتى قالت الربيع بنت معوذ رضي الله تعالى عنها هنا امرأة شابة تبين كيف كانوا يهتمون بالصيام وكيف يتبادلون الأدوار في تنشئة الأجيال على معرفة الإسلام تقول الربيع بنت معوذ كنا نصومه ونصومه صبياننا ونجعل لهم اللعبة من العهن أي من الصوف فإذا بكى أحدهم أعطيناه إياه يعني حتى يتلهى بها ريثما يفطر إذن هنا تفاعل عظيم من الجميع من الرجال والنساء والأطفال.
And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, so he maintained this particular practice of fasting on the 10th of Ashura. And together with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded his companions to also uphold the fast of the 10th of Muharram. But what we find in relation to this particular fast, it wasn't only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but every part of the community got actively involved in fasting. The men folk, the women folk, and even the children. This comes very clearly from a narration. There was a companion, a female companion of the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Rubay'ah. Binti Mu'awwad. She was the daughter of Binti Mu'awwad. She was the daughter of Mu'awwad. And she says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to fast, then what we would do is the men folk are fasting, the women folk are fasting, and then also they will instruct the children to fast. But then what would happen is a child, you need to nurture the child in terms of fasting. So the child would fast, but the child would want to know naturally that when can I break my fast? And then they used to have a toy that they used to give the child in order to preoccupy the child up until the time that it actually comes to the time of breaking the fast. So what do we find here? Another lesson and another example of not only one person fasting to the exclusion of others, but the men folk are fasting, the women folk are fasting, and then also they developing and nurturing the upcoming generation. So they also involved in this act of worship. In this particular example, it is fasting.
إذن ينبغي أن نصوم يوم عاشوراء والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم زاد على ذلك فقال أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة الماضية أي أنه يكفر الذنوب سنة هذا من فضائل صيام يوم عاشوراء أنا أخشى بعد هذا المجلس أن يأتي الأطفال ويقولوا لكم فقط هاتوا الألعاب نحن نريد الألعاب ودعونا
So our respected guest goes on to say that for these reasons, and also because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us so strongly that we should fast on the 10th of Ashura, and there's a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahtasibu, I have a great hope from Allah subhanahu wa taala." In other words, when you fast this fast, that the intention should be that Allah subhanahu wa taala would forgive all of your sins that you may have perpetrated for the past year. So, by virtue of you fasting on the 10th of Ashura. Our scholar also says in a humorous manner that I fear that perhaps after the khutbah that all of the children will basically come. They won't be concerned with fasting on the 10th of Ashura, but they will want to know where are their toys that can keep them preoccupied. So in what we have said thus far, we find sufficient reason for us to all be fasting on the 10th of Muharram.
طيب نسأل الله تعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من عباده المصطفين الأخيار آمين. صلوا على رسول الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا والحمد لله رب العالمين
So our respected guest ends off by sending peace and blessings upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. From my side, I'd just like to say that many times when we come to listen to a talk, you know, we have a certain expectancy of the talk. This particular talk contains many lessons, many profound lessons. And the profound lessons that has been shared by our respected guest, we should take these profound lessons to heart. And sometimes the most, these simple things and these simple lessons that are gleaned from the words of the Prophet ﷺ and the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, it comes from years of studying and years of application. So may we listen to these words and inshallah benefit from these words and make it part and parcel of our lives inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Assalamu alaikum jama'ah. Just before the adhan, the doctor was not introduced before the talk. We waited for the jama'ah to fill the masjid. The doctor, his name is Abdus Salam Al-Majidi and he hails from Yemen. Exactly from the town or the city of Ta'iz, which is the city that Sheikh Muhammad Salih Abadi's father hailed from. And the doctor is here, inshallah, he will be present on Sunday for the masjid's celebration. We are celebrating the fact that the masjid is 225 years old, as well commemorating Sheikh Muhammad Salih Abadi, who passed away 20 years ago in this month, and a few other important milestones that of his students that have completed 50 years ago and his jama'ah that was established 80 years ago. Everyone is invited Sunday morning, 7:30 for breakfast and then the Khatmul Quran. And up until Dhuhr, there will be some activities and we will conclude with a lunch, inshallah, this coming Sunday. The Sheikh will be here as well and there are other activities that he will be addressing and be occupied with for the next few days until next Thursday, inshallah. We make dua for the success of all our programs and acceptance and ultimately that it reaps the required and intended benefits for us in the community at large. Ameen. Shukran. As-salamu alaykum.